Today, I'm talking to Battersea's MP, Marsha de Cordova. Good afternoon, Marsha, and welcome back to Radio Jackie. And thank you for talking to me this afternoon.
Good afternoon, Jackie. It's great to be back.
Thank you. I understand you've written a second letter to the head of the Met, Sir Mark Rowley, asking him to reconsider the plans to close a police front desk at Lavender Hill. You'd already written one letter. So what was in your second letter?
Jackie, the reason why I sent a second letter to Sir Mark about the closures of the front desk at Lavender Hill was to really reiterate the impact the closure would have on my constituents here in Battersea and urging him to reconsider that proposal. As you know, leaving my constituents without a presence would be devastating, and writing letters but also having a petition that my constituents signed really demonstrated a strength of feeling. So I was really pleased this week that the Met have reconsidered their decision, and Lavender Hill front desk will now remain open from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. So there is a reduction in hours. It will no longer be 24 hour. But actually, you know, for me, I'm pleased that they listened. Whilst I haven't got everything I wanted, I do welcome this partial U-turn that the Metropolitan Police have made on this issue.
That's really good. So you really had a result then. It's worth pushing the case, isn't it?
Oh, always. I mean, it was so, in my view, Jackie, it was quite an absurd decision to even come up with in the first place, expecting my constituents to have to travel to Kingston or Brixton to report a crime was just ridiculous and frankly unacceptable. So it is welcome, and I'm certain that my constituents will also welcome that decision as well.
Yeah, let's hope he can reconsider other police front desks. I know Morden, they're also threatening to close that one. So maybe that's a good compromise, not 24 hours, but from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. A 12-hour window rather than 24, aren't you?
That, exactly.
Let's moving on. You recently opened a foreign language event as co-chair of the EU-UK Parliamentary Partnership Assembly in Westminster. And I understood three Battersea schools attended. What is the role of the PPA and how important is it in the developing the reset for young people to work in the UK?
So Jackie, it was wonderful to be part of the European Day of Languages and to open the event. And I was so proud to have several Battersea schools represented there. We know the importance of everyone learning a language. Not only does it open up opportunities, but also enriches all of our lives and our cultures and also our aspirations. So there are so many positive benefits to it. You've asked about the PPA, which is the Parliamentary Partnership Assembly, and that assembly is made up of British members of Parliament and also European members of the European Parliament. And the purpose really is to scrutinise what is called the Trade and Cooperation Agreement, the TCA, which was born out of the UK, sadly, leaving the European Union. And we really scrutinise that agreement. And we have our next assembly in London coming up in November.
And what's going to be on the agenda for that meeting, are you allowed to say?
Oh, not just yet, but we're going to be discussing a lot of the relevant issues, particularly the current state of play, but other areas like trade, as well as foreign security and defence and many other issues. But something that I'm really pleased that we'll be looking at is the situation for touring artists and our creatives, as I believe, you know, it's really important that going forward we have a strong agreement in place to ensure that British artists can travel and work across Europe.
Super. Right, you can we talk about your expectations for your visit to Battersea Flower Station? It's a lovely florist right in the centre of Battersea. And again, you'll be going to discuss a new UK-EU partnership to support local garden centres and reduce red tape and help grow the British economy. It was interesting, COVID, most of the garden centres were allowed to stay open. So it is a very important part of the UK economy, isn't it?
Indeed it is. And, you know, I'm really lucky, Jackie, that in Battersea we have thousands of small and medium sized businesses, and they all do, you know, play an incredible role in contributing to the local economy here. And so the reason for my visit later today is really to talk about, you know, the plans for this new partnership, this new agreement that the UK and the EU are currently working out or negotiating. And I also want to hear directly from them about the impact that Brexit or Britain leaving the European Union has had on them. As you know, as you know, plants and flowers are really important to our economy. But also today I'm launching my small business awards for 2025. So it'd be great to visit a small business and also just talk about my new campaign.
Yeah, I presume you're going to talk to the florists about the difficulty in importing flowers from Europe, because that was what was a mainstay. I mean, we can't grow all our own flowers here. We don't, well, we might have the weather soon as it's getting warmer, but it has been a problem for them, hasn't it?
Well, that's exactly it. We're going to be talking about this new agreement, yes.
That's good. You've expressed your support to recognise Palestinian statehood. Do you think the UK should have asked more for more assurances on how Palestine's going to be governed and insisted on the disarming of Hamas before we recognise statehood? Or do you think recognising statehood is pushing in that direction?
Jackie, I've been a long-standing campaigner for Palestinian statehood, so I welcome the government's decision to recognise Palestine. Not only was it the right thing to do, but it's absolutely important that Palestinians have their right to self-determination. Now, I see recognition as really the first step, because actually establishing a state of Palestine is where we need to get to. So it's an important first step. And given everything that we are seeing within Palestine, and particularly within Gaza and the West Bank, you know, it's crucial that the UK, the UK government, took this, I believe, a very important step. Now, as you know, this week, a ceasefire is in place, fragile though it may be. Again, this is the first step, because what's going to be important going forward, A, is that that ceasefire holds, you know, and the killing stops, but also that we see a clear pathway to peace and ensuring that Palestinians can have their, what can I say, how the best way to say this is that, I suppose what I would like to see, given the large number of lives that have been lost, including more than 18,500 children, we absolutely need to see accountability and justice become a reality for Palestinians in that region.
Yeah. You've also urged the government to introduce a Gaza family visa scheme, very much like the Ukrainian family visa scheme we had. What would that involve? Because it's slightly different. When the Ukrainian family scheme was introduced, it was often just the mums and the children that were coming over because the husbands were still fighting in Ukraine. So with Palestinian families, it will be whole families. So people would have to need quite a bit of space to accommodate them.
I think the comparator here, Jackie, is war. And there has been a war, and that is what we are trying to combat. And if we can reunite families, that should absolutely be the number one priority. Let's not forget, the last 2 years have been totally devastating for Palestinians. Dare I say, nearly 70,000 people have lost their lives, tens of thousands injured, many having life-changing conditions now, disabling many adults and children. And so for me, the visa family scheme is absolutely the right way to go. And the good thing is we've seen the positive impacts, because there is a Ukrainian scheme in place, and all we need now is something similar. That's why I have raised it with the Prime Minister, and I'm hoping to get a good response to that.
Finally, do you think that the new criteria enabling an extra 500,000 more pupils to be eligible for free school meals in September will not only give school children a guaranteed nutritious meal every day, but possibly discourage absenteeism? Are you aware of persistent absenteeism in schools in Battersea?
Well, Jackie, what's really important about the free school meals announcements, it really builds on what the Mayor of London had already introduced for primary schools. And the government's announcement for me and will have a hugely positive impact. And that's why I went to visit one of my schools, St John Bosco's, and to have lunch with the children, just to see the positive impact free school meals will be having. Now, essentially, we know if every child, as you say, has a nutritional meal, the benefits are huge, not just from attainment, but also behaviours, and also giving them the opportunity to have a full meal, but also to, and I think what we need to ensure is children have the opportunity to learn and learn well. And that is what free school meals will do, not least lifting, you know, over 100,000 children out of poverty, and that needs to be the driver to this, reducing poverty at all levels.
It was lovely to speak to you, Marsha. Thank you again for coming back to Radio Jackie.
Jackie, always a pleasure.